following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
This is Mick Schatz.
Streaming live on DallasCowboys.com and the official Dallas Cowboys app.
Now, here are Bill Jones, Everson Walls, and Mickey Spagnola.
And it is high noon or thereabouts here on a Thursday inside the SWBC podcast studio. Bill Jones, Mickey Spagnola, live in studio. Everson Walls in a remote location somewhere, I think in America.
With a white wall behind
on
her.
Top of the world.
On top of the world. Looking down on creation, and we are closing in on game day on Sunday at 5:30 Dallas time, 3:30 Pacific time when the Cowboys take on the Niners, and I can't wait for this. Not only that game, but the three games leading up to it. It is divisional playoff weekend, and a lot of people think this is the best weekend of the playoffs because you've got all this football and some pretty good matchups.
So we'll get a chance to watch all three games before the Cowboys start, right?
Unless you're on a charter and during a Saturday afternoon and not able to watch Jacksonville and Kansas City.
Let's hope the charter Wi-Fi works.
There you go. So here is your schedule for the weekend. The first AFC game at, I'm going to go Dallas time on all of this, 3:30, I believe, on Saturday afternoon. It will be Jacksonville at Kansas City. The Saturday night game, the Giants play at the Eagles. 2 o'clock Sunday afternoon, Cincinnati at Buffalo, and then Dallas and San Francisco, 5:30 Sunday.
So they've designated the Cowboys and Niners the marquee game?
I would think that is the marquee name. Would you, Everson, wouldn't you say when Dallas plays San Francisco in the playoffs, it's a marquee game?
You know, there's never really any drama in these games at all. I don't know why America wants to see them. You know,
and in the one game there, from a competitive standpoint, there wasn't drama in the NFC title game. Jimmy managed to create it beforehand, right? Predicting a victory in the 93 NFC title game.
You can put it in 3-inch headlines. We will win the ball game.
And then that's not when he said, "Call my daddy."
No, he didn't say that.
That was a different one.
And then on the Friday night coach's interview, George Seifert, back when they used to have a NFL party, a championship game party on Friday night, and Seifert got into town, and you know they asked him about Jimmy's declaration, and he goes, "Well, he sure has a couple brass ones," and so that added to the
drama. Is that where the name of the book comes from?
That's exactly right.
That's right. Exactly.
Oh, man.
This is funny. The name of Jimmy's book is Swagger, okay? Right. And so I just started Googling Jimmy and Swagger. You know what? I got Jimmy Swaggered.
Of course you did.
Because I wanted to check on the official subtitle on the book Swagger, which you just referenced. And I still get Jimmy Swaggered. Forget that. All right, let's move on. Mm. Cowboys and Niners. And we had a Mike McCarthy press conference already completed today, just within the last hour. We've got football players on a football field, and this is a big day of practice, Mickey.
And there's a extra kicker on the
that's right
at the facility today.
Oh no!
Oh wait, you missed that. Tristan Vizcaino, who came through here in 2020 in the
off season. I remember that name.
Yeah, and as soon as they signed Greg Zuerlein, they released the kicker, who went on, and you know, I think it's one of those. I don't know. Can you buy like really, really short-term life insurance policy? Because
do we have a problem here, Spags?
I know. No, it better not be because wait till I tell you this.
I mean, this is getting weird. This is getting weird. Now the tail is wagging the dog. Now what's going
on? They had to make sure they practiced and take the look at what Brett Maher did. So it's an insurance policy. He's on the practice squad, by the way. You know, the other point is that they just need – I think it's for a confidence standpoint. So you got to go look at what's available.
That wouldn't put confidence
no,
in
me. No, that's what I was going to say.
I would not be confident at all.
What, because they signed a guy that his last job he got cut because he was 10 of 15 on extra points?
Right.
Does that scare you? I don't think so. Yeah, and his production this year is he's made I think it was two of two on field goals and 3 of 3 on extra points or vice versa.
So he's perfect.
He's kicked in one game basically.
Yeah.
So you catch my drift?
This is only his fourth team this year.
He's had 10 teams since he got into the NFL. I believe it was 2019. He's been with 10 different – no, not 10 different teams,
this
10 different stops.
This is not the time for these issues to be coming around now. Talk about bad timing. Oh, my goodness.
This is his journey to the Cowboys practice squad. It started in Cincinnati to Dallas, back to Cincinnati, Minnesota, San Francisco, Buffalo, the Chargers, New England, Arizona, New England again, and Dallas again. And here we are.
And that's the best they could do.
That's what's
to
that's
bring
what's out
somebody
there.
In. It's, yeah, yeah.
Slim pickings for kickers out there.
Yeah. So I'll go back to my word confidence. Okay.
So confidence
in Maher. This is just
no. You're not talking Maher's confidence to go out there. You're talking the team's confidence in Maher.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. Now that makes sense.
And once again. You know how everybody overreacted to one game in Dak's career. It just happened to be the last one of the regular season instead of the productivity over the entire season. And look how that turned around. So I know kickers are a different breed, but I just think Brett Maher's a different breed of kicker than what we're normally used to. So we'll see what happens.
But they would need to make a decision by Saturday afternoon if they were to elevate him to
the 48.
Right.
So he could be, if you had some.
So basically,
concern.
What this is what's going on out there right now is with Maher. I mean, if he's out there missing 4 extra points in practice, then you're taking a closer look at Vizcaino and maybe to elevate him for Sunday.
Right. Just in case, right?
Right. Because
he would probably have one miss, and then you yank him and bring in the guy.
My wife asked me Monday, she said, you guys need a backup kicker. I said, nobody carries a backup kicker on their team. What are you talking about? That's never going to happen.
That's right. I mean, there's a big battle going on to who's going to be on that active roster.
Well,
from special teams.
Was it last year or the year before they brought in another kicker when Zuerlein was struggling, if I remember correctly?
Right.
So mm-hmm. It's not unprecedented. And the only other thing he did this year, I think in 2 games, he was the kickoff specialist for the Patriots. And that lasted just 2 games. So, doesn't have a lot of experience in I just
don't understand this because Liram Hirulahu is available, I think.
I think he is.
I think he's a free agent out there.
And
what about Jonathan Garibay?
Name again.
How much NFL experience does he have, by the way?
Got a lot of CFL experience.
Yeah, that's right. He was pretty good.
Mm-hmm, that's
and,
right.
And it's like, okay, buddy, your first appearance in the NFL is going to be in a second-round playoff game on the road and on who knows what condition the grass will be. Have at it.
Okay. All right, so that's the top of the news for everyone.
Oh, and let me finish with this,
okay.
too. I saw this in the San Francisco Chronicle.
They still publish that?
They do.
Okay.
Well, it was online. I don't know okay. if there's a paper edition. Some guy named Dennis Young was writing on how Jerry Jones flip-flopped on the kicker situation. Because I think after the game he was you know, he didn't come down. But by Tuesday morning, when he did his radio interview, he pointed out that, well, we'll just have to take a look at this. You know, that we've done this once before, carrying a kicker. So Dennis Young, who wrote the story, said, yeah, Jerry Jones flip-flopped on Monday morning on his radio segment. I'm thinking, if you're giving somebody grief, at least get your dates right. Right? Don't make a mistake in your story, okay? Okay, I'm done.
Okay.
Hey, I have something.
You go, Everson.
I was very impressed with all of the narrative around Dak and the Cowboys and, you know, what's Dak going to do? And they just had all the dominoes lined up for them to fall against the Cowboys, right? That's all they talked about. Dak Prescott has the most pressure on him than any other player in the NFL playoffs. Now, who has that pressure on them now after Dak just miraculously becomes the savior of the world?
None's on a rookie quarterback, is it?
Well, just kind of straying away from the game, this particular game, I think Jalen Hurts has the most pressure on him right now. It just shifted to the Philadelphia Eagles in regards to how they're going to handle their first game.
And especially when you consider that Jalen is coming off the injury and, just faced the Giants a couple of weeks ago in his return, and the way the Giants have been playing. And that could be a very interesting game on Saturday night.
Did he lose one of his dimensions?
It is going to be a very interesting game. Mm-hmm.
Did he lose one of his dimensions of running the ball, trying to protect that shoulder, not wanting to get tackled? And is he a different quarterback?
I know. If I was a coach, I would not be calling too many RPOs for Jalen Hurts, because, you know, we're flying around. Not just us, we're flying around. You got the Giants that have a lot of confidence right now. And like you said, they played against Jalen Hurts at the end of the season. Didn't go so well. You know, I think he does right now. He is what Dak Prescott was facing last week. But, of course, the pressure's not as much because you're not a Dallas Cowboy quarterback. But you've been getting all of this praise all year long. You know, everyone's putting you ahead of Dak and almost every other quarterback in the NFL. And we hadn't even heard from you now, really, for about 2-3 weeks. Now we'll see what he's got going on and how healthy is he.
And when you consider the Giants and Wink Martindale, their defensive coordinator, who has a history with some tough defensive teams like the Ravens in his past, they may be targeting that shoulder that Jalen Hurts is playing with.
I bet they are. Yeah.
there's no equality in criticism, you know.
Mm-hmm. All right, so back to this game,
yes.
Cowboys and Niners. What do we need to know coming out of Mike McCarthy's press conference this morning?
So he pointed out that Jayron Kearse will be limited in practice with that knee, but I think they feel like the rest of these guys are I printed out my injury report and left it on the printer, that everybody else is about ready to go except for Jason Peters, and I think I told you guys on Thursday, that he's likely done for the season with that hip injury. Somebody just asked me about Jason Peters. I said, it's a 40-year-old man with a bad hip. Kind of read into it as you will. But that means the offensive line is back in order, which was another thing pointed out in one of the analysis in the enemy newspaper, pointing out that the Cowboys have problems on the offensive line because Jason Peters has a hip injury and may not play. They didn't point out that that offensive line, you know, that was only his first start of the year.
It's back to
what it was.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I've called up the injury report from yesterday, and officially what the Cowboys had listed yesterday as far as Kearse goes, his participation level was limited, as you mentioned, with his knee, and DeMarcus Lawrence has been listed as limited
all
throughout
year.
The season.
Yeah, all year.
And Peters was the only one who is a DNP. And then as far as San Francisco is concerned, yesterday's injury report, I'm looking just at names of interest. They have a 10-time Pro Bowl left tackle themselves who's headed for the Hall of Fame.
Trent Williams,
and he did not participate yesterday, but it's because he is a 10-time future, 10-time Pro Bowl future Hall of Fame left tackle.
Yeah, and I just want to see if this year, when he lines up on the left side like he did last year in the playoff game, and he starts digging and his toe, his back foot toe in the ground before the snap, if that's a false start.
I remember that stuff, Spence.
You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
It was like he'd sit there. It was like one of those charging, you know, bulls. And it's like, all right, I'm ready to go. And he's digging that foot in the ground. Why is that not a false start?
Mm-hmm.
But I guess we'll find out.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of penalties.
Yes.
How about the Cowboys, the way the Cowboys have corrected that little issue?
Well, do we remember the playoff game last year?
That's right. I'm calling it up right now.
I believe it was 14.
Team stats, last year's playoff game. Dallas and San Francisco last year. It was 14 penalties for Dallas for 89 yards, and the 49ers had 9 penalties for 58 yards in that game last year.
So I saw who's doing the game this year. And he, his last 2 years.
Bill Vinovich?
Yeah, the least amount of penalties called.
There you go.
I wonder if that has anything to do after they saw last year's game.
I don't know, but that is something.
After last week's game, the Cowboys ended up at the end of the year probably one of the least penalized teams in the NFL, correct?
Yeah, after the start they got off to, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because there was a lot of double-digit penalties at that point.
And that has always been a point of criticism here. And if you can clean that stuff up at this critical time of the year, that's huge. All right, we're just getting started on this edition of Mix Shots. We got much to get into. In fact, I want to take a look at the last 3 years for Christian McCaffrey versus Tony Pollard. When we come back on Mix Shots in just a moment.
The Medal of Honor is our country's highest military award for valor in combat. More than 40 million individuals have served in the armed forces since the Civil War. Fewer than 4,000 have received the Medal of Honor. The National Medal of Honor Museum will be a place to preserve these legacies and inspire America. It's being built right next door to the Dallas Cowboys in Texas. Help us honor our country's greatest heroes. Learn more and get involved at mohmuseum.org.
We paid how much for those lessons?
Shh, she's doing great.
Oh yeah, totally. Can you pass me a Pepsi Zero Sugar? Great job, honey! Oh, well, look at that. That's not the end.
No way. Now it's time for the encore.
You know what? You're right. 5 times? Not enough times.
For everyone who traded in rock concerts for their kids' recitals, you've compromised enough. Pepsi Zero Sugar. That's what I like.
Nobody protects you from mayhem like Allstate. You hear that? I'm a torrential downpour. Torrential? What's that even mean? It means you can't see out of your windshield. And if you have the wrong car insurance, you might have to make it rain to fix your bumper. So switch to Allstate, save money, and be better protected from mayhem, like me.
Based on coverage and limits selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. In most states, prices vary based on how you buy. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
What do you call a group of grown men and women with their faces painted silver and blue who get together every week to share a 3-hour-long ritual of jumping, sinking, and toasting Miller Lite in 10-gallon hats while yelling, "How about them Cowboys?" You call it Miller Time in Dallas. Here's to the Cowboys. Here's to the original light beer. It's Miller Time. Celebrate responsibly. 2021 Miller Brewing Company, Fort Worth, Texas.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Back to Mixed Shots.
Cape Post Roofing and Waterproofing, proud partner of the Dallas Cowboys, from corporate homes to your home. Have your roof checked by choice, not by chance. So call now, 214-225-4860, capepostcompany.com.
Okay, you know, I talked about the watch party on Monday night and just how many Cowboys fans were there at AT&T Stadium and Miller Lighthouse. I was out there even before the gates opened on Monday afternoon, and there was, starting at 5:30 when the gates opened, it was already filling up very quickly. And when I drove away just before kickoff at nearly 7 o'clock.
You left the party before the game was over?
Well, I had to get someplace where I could actually get my notepad out and take notes. There were a lot of cars and a lot of people still on their way in to the party. Well, they've decided they're going to do it again this week.
It was a good idea.
It was a good idea, a great idea, and they're going to do it again on Sunday afternoon. Of course, it is a 5:30 kickoff Dallas time, and the watch party, I don't have in front of me right now, but I assume if they're going to use the same time frame, gates would open at 4 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. I'll try to confirm that before
we
get done
here. This is not a Spagnola read.
I have now found a read that was underneath the Mix Shots live reads. And 4 o'clock, yes. Gates open at 4 o'clock.
Hopefully a nice day, right?
I haven't looked at the forecast for – have you looked at the forecast for the Bay Area?
I just said
they've had some rain issues here recently.
Recently, the whole month.
Mm-hmm.
Or more than that.
You haven't looked?
I have not looked.
Okay. So that's another assignment for you.
Well, the most important thing is if you have to go across the field after the game, what shoes to wear.
No, the most important thing is for the kicker.
What shoe the kicker wears,
for the kicker. All right. Christian McCaffrey versus Tony Pollard. What led me to look this up was a tweet from Ed Werder during the Niners-Seattle game on Saturday. He tweeted something to the effect of, I often wonder whenever I watch Christian McCaffrey what Tony Pollard would be like if he was used in the same way that Christian McCaffrey has been used, both in Carolina and in San Francisco. I'm reading into it. That's too long a tweet. I mean, it was just, I often wonder what Tony Pollard would do if he had if he was used the same way as Christian McCaffrey. So I looked up the last 3 years, because Pollard is rookie year. Okay, he's a rookie. Okay.
Right.
So his last 3 years versus Christian McCaffrey. Pollard, 424 carries for 2,154 yards, 5.1 yards a carry. McCaffrey, 402 carries for 1,800 yards, 4.5 yards a carry. All right, receiving. Pollard, 106 catches, 901 yards. That's 8.5 yards a catch. McCaffrey, 139 receptions, 1,233 yards. That's 8.9 yards a catch. So all told, Pollard, 530 touches. McCaffrey, 541 touches. Pollard, 3,055 yards. McCaffrey, 3,039 yards. 5.8 yards a touch for Pollard, 5.6 yards a touch for McCaffrey. Now here's the big difference.
Touchdowns.
No, I'm not. I didn't even look at touchdowns. The big difference. McCaffrey has missed 20 games during that time.
Right.
But you look at the production, and when McCaffrey has been healthy and playing in games, and when Pollard has played, it's almost identical their usage, okay? They're almost identical their production, okay? Yeah. But I also think McCaffrey is a case in point for the Cowboys, who decide that we're not going to use Pollard as much because we don't want him to get hurt. And you see what happened to McCaffrey after he was used so much by Carolina the first 2 years in the league. The next 2 years, he misses 20 games. And the Cowboys have been guarding against overuse for Pollard because they don't want to lose him for 20 games the next couple of years.
Or they don't have confidence in him that he can
there are other aspects.
That many snaps in a game. And we were going to –
he's shown that part, Spags.
Well, we will find out once free agency begins how other teams evaluate Tony Pollard. Because if they allow him into free agency, we'll see what sort of offers he gets.
And by the way, at the end of this year, with more touches this year for Pollard, he had a bruised thigh at the end of the season and had to miss a game and was limited in another one.
Right. So that'll be the barometer on your little deal there, what other people think of him, not just what the Cowboys perceive him to be.
But it is an interesting comparison when you look at the production numbers, Pollard and McCaffrey in both rushing and receiving.
So do you have a comparable with my man Debo?
I don't think Debo to who? There is no comparison to Debo.
The Cowboys don't have a comparable player, right, that can do both things like that? Can you think of one?
I wouldn't say that.
Who do you think they can hand the ball to for 400 yards rushing as a receiver?
Tony Pollard.
I think he's really good.
All right.
So, Everson, what do you think of my McCaffrey versus Pollard comparison there?
Well, off the bat, before I knew the evenness of their stats, I would have thought that McCaffrey has a little bit more endurance. That's just the way I would have thought it, just by, you know, looking at it from afar. Pollard has always been that guy that needed limited touches because you could see the fatigue in him if he gets the ball a little bit too often. We talked about it yesterday, Spags. I think that was off the air. I really just saw Tony Pollard as a guy that has a little bit more explosiveness than McCaffrey. I have always thought that, just the way Pollard has played. I thought he showed it also in the last game, in the way he willed himself to just, you know, get an average over 4 yards a carry in his last playoff game. I think they both have the same abilities, but off the top, I would have thought that McCaffrey would have a little bit more endurance overall than Pollard. I guess when you look at the fact that he didn't play so many games over the last 3 years, he has been used more than Pollard has, you know, based on how much he's played.
Mickey's busy charting or scribbling something down.
I thought I lost you guys.
I know it. I was hoping that Mickey had something to add there because I was busy coming up with something to add to the conversation. I'm not finished with my research, Mickey.
Well, no, I was just, since you compared those guys, I was trying to compare pass rushers, sack guys. So that's off a different subject. But if you got more.
Go for it.
Before you move on to that. I don't think Christian McCaffrey has had a Zeke Elliott. You know, when you look at that, who was that prominent in the backfield with him that's on Zeke Elliott's level? You know, that's the luxury that Pollard has had his whole career. And it's like you said, Spags, how is that going to affect his worth without a Zeke on the next team that he may go to?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a question that's going to get answered. So since you brought up that, I was thinking, well, what about sacks, right? Because right away we think Bosa and Parsons. Well,
yep.
Bosa led the league with 18 and a half sacks. Parsons had 13 and a half. But as I go through this whole thing, and looking at, they ranked the top 50 guys with sacks in the league, tied 50. And it's more than 50 because there's a huge tie at 49, right, at 6.5. The Cowboys have another guy in the top 50 with Dorrance Armstrong tied for 27th with 8.5. And San Francisco, according to these stats, and I guess I should look at their stats, they don't have another guy with 6.5 sacks. According to the top, let's see here. So I should look here. The Ebukon, is that how you say it?
Yep.
He's got 5. Yeah,
close enough, anyway.
And Omenahu.
Omenahu. Charles Omenahu out of Rowlett High School in the University of Texas.
4.5 sacks.
Hey, could you take that paper from Mickey, please? Just take the paper from Mickey, Bill. Read that yourself.
I even wrote that down to make sure I pronounced it right, and I didn't have it on the right page.
Yeah, there you go.
So they had two guys combined for like 9 sacks.
Mm-hmm.
So from a sack standpoint, obviously the Cowboys got to take care of Bosa.
And on the season, the
Manhunigu had 1.5 last year against the Cowboys in that playoff game.
And by the way, and he was drafted by the Texans. The Texans gave up on him, and
right.
Now he winds up in San Francisco. The 49ers on the season had 44 sacks as a team.
So the Cowboys had 10, mm-hmm. 10 more, I believe that is.
Mm-hmm.
And their quarterbacks have only been sacked 31 times.
Here's the other thing to consider on San Francisco, and this is something that I've charted throughout the season in my voluminous notebook here. Offensive line injuries. The 49ers have been really one of the healthiest offensive lines in the league this entire season, mm-hmm. With the exception Trent Williams early in the season missed 3 games. And how did they start the season, Mickey?
I believe 1-2.
And they were 3-4 after 7 games. Basically, after Trent Williams came back in what would be Week 7, they lost to Kansas City in Week 7. Since then, they've won every game. And I don't think it's a coincidence getting their 10-time Pro Bowl left tackle back. But when you look at their offensive line, and this is something I'm sure that the Cowboys are looking at this week in ways that they can take advantage with their pass rush. They've got San Francisco's got 2 veterans at tackle, Williams on one side, and a 2018 first-round pick, Mike McGlinchey's at right tackle. But you look at their interior offensive linemen, and they've got young guys in there. Now, they may be pretty good, too, but they've got a first-year starter at center in Jake Brindle out of UCLA and Plano East High School, who's basically a starter for the first time. Alex Mack was their longtime center. Of course, an Alex Mack, he's could be destined for Canton as well. You know, he started 17 games last year for them at pushing 40 years old, probably. So Brendel's been their starter at center, and they're at guard. They've got second-round draft pick from last year, Aaron Banks, who is starting his first year at left guard. And, he and Blake Hintz have last year they had Blake Hintz and Tom Compton were their starters at guard, and Banks this year is a first-year starter. He backed him up last year. And the other guard is Spencer Burford, another first-year starter, fourth-round rookie this year, and they lost Lakin Tomlinson, who signed a big 3-year, $40 million deal with the Jets from last year. And so those interior offensive linemen are young or inexperienced, one or the other, and that could be something where the Cowboys try to take advantage of what the Niners have up front, despite the fact that they've been healthy all year on their offensive line. So they've done a good job all year, but if you're looking for a place where they might be susceptible a little bit, it would be inside on their offensive line.
And you mentioned that they have won 11 straight games. This occurred to me, and it's like you can't do if, right? But had the Cowboys, hung on to leads in the 2 games they lost in overtime, they would have had a 10-game winning streak until losing to Washington in the season finale. So the only thing that stood between them and a 10-game winning streak was losing 2 games in overtime.
Right.
One of them on a drop pass pick 6.
You know, it's interesting how many hot teams are still alive in the playoffs. Teams that have done well
shocking,
in the second half
it?
Of the year. I mean, you look at Cincinnati and Buffalo, I think they both have, what, 8-game win streaks. And it's rare that you have two teams that hot matching up against each other in the playoffs.
Yeah, but. And Kansas City's been pretty consistent also.
All right, we wrap up this edition of Mix Shots in just a moment.
We paid how much for those lessons?
Shh, she's doing great.
Oh, yeah, totally. Can you pass me a Pepsi Zero Sugar?
Great job, honey!
Oh. Oh, look at that. That's not the end.
No way. Now it's time for the encore.
You know what? You're right. 5 times? Not enough times.
For everyone who traded in rock concerts for their kids' recitals, you've compromised enough. Pepsi Zero Sugar. That's what I like.
Nobody protects you from mayhem like Allstate. You hear that? I'm a torrential downpour. Torrential? What's that even mean? It means you can't see out of your windshield. And if you have the wrong car insurance, you might have to make it rain to fix your bumper. So switch to Allstate, save money, and be better protected from mayhem, like me.
Based on coverage and limits selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. In most states, prices vary based on how you buy. Allstate Bar and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
The Medal of Honor is our country's highest military award for valor in combat. More than 40 million individuals have served in the armed forces since the Civil War. Fewer than 4,000 have received the Medal of Honor. The National Medal of Honor Museum will be a place to preserve these legacies and inspire America. It's being built right next door to the Dallas Cowboys in Texas. Help us honor our country's greatest heroes. Learn more and get involved at mohmuseum.org.
The season is finally here. For months, we've been gearing up to win. Now it's time for the team that performs on any field, United Ag and Turf. With John Deere zero turns for mowing, compact tractors for loading, mini excavators for digging, Gator utility vehicles for hauling, implements for grading, hay tools for baling, United Ag and Turf for winning. The official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgandTurf.com for more.
Back to Mixed Shots.
Bill, Everson, do either one of you know who the Dallas Cowboys 2022 Fan of the Year is?
I saw a story on the Fan of the Year on CBS.
Do you remember the name?
No, but I feel you're going to fill me in on it.
It is James Wright, because James brings the spice to every Dallas Cowboys game, and now he needs you to help him bring it to the Super Bowl. Vote for James to be given the ultimate title of NFL Fan of the Year, presented by Captain Morgan, by casting your vote at NFL.com/Fan of the Year. So the captain,
yay, James.
The captain's going to be there to crown the Fan of the Year, right?
I guess so.
It says presented by. Uh-huh. He's going to present him the trophy.
All right, some news out of Tampa this morning. They have fired offensive coordinator Byron Leftwich, making sweeping changes to their coaching staff. As many as 5 offensive assistants and 2 on defense expected to be let go.
That saves the head coach's job, or how does that work?
Well, I would.
Or maybe Todd Bowles had to.
Think about Tampa Bay. Since a year ago at this time, Bruce Arians was the head coach. He decides to retire in March after Brady had retired, and then Brady comes back, and Bowles had been announced as being promoted to head coach. But think about Byron Leftwich and where he was as far as a hot head coaching commodity.
Yes,
coming
was.
Off a Super Bowl 2 years ago and even last year, and now they let him go.
So do you think?
Mickey working on his microphone as we speak.
Well,
he wants to add something.
Sneezed, and you got to hit the cough button back a couple times.
You might want to raise your microphone a little bit so we can hear you too.
He sounds like an old man over there.
Well, I can't
like
sneeze.
A guy that just woke up.
I can't sneeze. And I had a very good point to make, too.
About Byron Leftwich,
yeah,
Bruce Arians.
You think Bruce Arians had a little bit to do with Byron Leftwich's offensive coordinator status? And maybe,
no, I think Tom Landry had everything to do with Byron Leftwich's status, period. It all had to do with Tom Brady.
You said Tom Landry.
Tom Landry.
I'm sorry.
I was like, how's he going to tie this one together?
I'd have to sew that together, boy.
Now I'm coughing because I'm choking on my.
So do you think Brady was the offensive coordinator? Have they fired Brady too? They didn't have to. He's a free agent.
Hey, I'm telling you, Byron Leftwich can look like a genius with Tom Brady sitting up there in the center. Now all of a sudden, Tom Brady's gone, and we don't need Byron. I mean, come on, that's a no-brainer to me. I'm sorry.
Well, he's not gone yet.
Who?
Brady.
Well, yeah, he's a free agent, so he can.
He
can now. So maybe they're making these moves to try to lure Brady back.
Maybe he's going to be the offensive coordinator.
That's right. He's going to be player coach.
Hey, I would not put it past him. Think about that. I would not put it past him.
All right. So speaking of coaching matchups, how about the coaching matchup here? Where, on the offensive side of the football. There are a lot of changes in San Francisco staff where, you know, their OC last year is now the head coach of Miami is Kyle Shanahan's offense, though. But it's Shanahan versus Quinn.
Right.
And obviously they have the history together in Atlanta, took a team to the Super Bowl and had a big lead at a Super Bowl against the aforementioned Tom Brady and the Patriots. And then D'Amico Ryans, the defensive coordinator for the Niners, you talk about hot head coaching commodities right now. D'Amico Ryans is getting a lot of looks around the league right now.
You think he's going to be distracted?
Will Dan Quinn be distracted interviewing tomorrow with
everybody
Denver?
Was worried about Quinn being distracted, and they've got a coordinator that's going to interview tomorrow also, I believe, Ryans, right?
He's got Ryans has maybe four or five interviews scheduled for tomorrow. That's why I said – now, but he had – 2 extra days to prepare for Dallas. You know, they had already played
for his interviews.
Well, they had they played on Saturday, and they had already played Tampa Bay a month ago, and so you know that they spent those 2 days, having not played Dallas this year, preparing for Dallas, and knowing that Dallas was probably going to win that game.
So, what scares you the most about the San Francisco offense? What part? The offensive line, the running back, Debo, receivers? What part?
Play calling.
Okay. Because
I think Shanahan has the ability to cross up any defense that the 49ers go up against. They don't just attack you with strength. They attack you with intellect as well. I think he's one of the better play callers, Shanahan, in the NFL, period. What you saw from our defense offense coordinator was special against Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. And, you know, when it comes down to it, you've got a young wide receiver in Ayuk. I hope I'm saying his name correctly.
That's good. Good.
And with thank you, Bill. Not Mickey. Mickey, we don't get it right often. So I'd have to say that that does scare me more than anything is their ability to spread the ball around. Now, people talk about Aaron Rodgers and Brady and how they spread the ball around as well. Dak Prescott I think he hit 8 different receivers in the ball game against the Buccaneers. You know, to me, that's showing just how good he can be as an offensive coordinator, talking about the Dallas Cowboys. Shanahan, to me, is on a different level even from Kellen Moore. And to me, that's saying a lot because I do respect Kellen Moore when he's at his best. And Shanahan, to me, is even on a higher level than that.
Well, this will make you feel good because I listened to Troy Aikman's radio segment this morning on The Ticket, and he absolutely agreed with you that not only does Shanahan have the personnel to be very versatile, meaning you mentioned Ayuk, he's got the tight end, Kittle, he's got the fullback, Juszczyk, that he likes to play with, right? And it's like when you have that personnel around the quarterback, no matter who the quarterback is, if the quarterback is, recognizes things, disciplined, accurate, it doesn't matter that, Brock Purdy was the lowest drafted rookie to win a playoff game because he's got all this around him, and Shanahan, in Aikman's estimation, is one of the best, if not the best, offensive coordinators in the league. And he went back to learning from his dad, Mike Shanahan, who learned from Bill Walsh, and he said the three kind of put together this offense, or they Kyle took parts of this and parts of that, part of his own, and has really put together a very versatile offense. But to do that, you had to have these versatile players. But he was very complimentary of what Kyle Shanahan has done offensively.
All right. Everson, we're about out of time, and you'll be joining us again tomorrow from a remote location.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
On top of the world.
That's right.
On top of the world.
And we'll get the picks to click, and I'll fill up my gas tank, and then we'll be ready for San Francisco.
Oh, boy. It's going to be 45-43.
Do you think I ought to fill up the tank? Or
just
if I
stop.
Filled up the tank, I mean, gas prices are now over $3 a gallon again.
What happened?
I don't know what happened, but I saw last night. I said, okay, I'm going to wait a day. I'm sure they're going to come down. So I may be going with a half tank.
It's right with soft drink prices.
There you go. And eggs.
Yeah, what happened with eggs? Did the chickens get stingy or something?
That's for another day. All right, we will chat at you again tomorrow on the next edition of Mix Shots.
Go Cowboys.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys? Yeah!